Good morning, everybody. Thursday morning, April 29th and 9 a.m. We're doing Chem 12 BL. I want to do a problem solving session this morning because I feel like we went through some of that, some of those reactions pretty quickly in lecture regarding the electrophilic aromatic substitution. And while I showed you a lot of things and we talked about a lot of things, we didn't really get many examples. And I'd like to move on today into the conjugated systems and the other types of reactions that we see with conjugated systems. So I want to take some of this time to go ahead and do some problem solving sessions with these guys and make it a little more interactive today. So let's go ahead and let me start a screen share and show you where we're at. Now, screen share has been a little glitchy since I've upgraded all my stuff, and it seems to cut out at least once. So if it does cut out and stops drawing, let me know. And I'll get it, we'll get it fixed real quick. It only seems to cut out once, and it usually cuts out like, I don't know, 5 minutes into a session, and it seems to drop off. So let's see what happens here. Electrophilic aromatic substitution. Okay, so what I want to do is walk through a series of problems. So this is acetophenone reacting with bromine and FeBr3, ferric bromide. Okay, so what I need is I need to be able to see you guys. I can see the chat. So maybe you guys can use the chat if you don't wanna activate mics. And let me know where this is gonna go. So we've got, just to remind you guys, we've got ortho, meta, and para. And what I want to know is I want to know the major product. I don't need all the minors. I just want to know what the major product of this is going to be.
Meta.
It's going to be meta. Okay. So the way that we're deciding that is that this guy here is a meta director. And it is a deactivating group. And we're deciding that because it's an electron withdrawing group. So it's really the electron withdrawing group that makes this a meta director and a deactivator. And so that's going to put it towards the meta position. And so the product that we would draw would indeed have the bromine in the meta position. And the reasoning for that, again, is that when we look at the intermediate, if we were to view each of the three possible intermediates, I just want to remind everybody that this intermediate would place the positive charge directly at the base of the carbonyl. This would be ortho. Meta places the positive charge in one of three locations. So the positive charge would be placed around the ring system. Right now, as I've drawn it, I would draw it this way, but we'll say that additionally through resonance, I'll use red to indicate where the positive charge would go with resonance. Positive charge with resonance would show up here and here, but it's really this guy that is the problem. And then if I went para, then again, the positive charge is going to show up in that location with alternates here and here. And so for right now, I'll draw this one single resonance contributor, but we can see that again, that this is the problem. And so this is the most stable intermediate. And that's what's leading to this being the major product. All right, so just to remind ourselves about how this group here is the electron withdrawing group. And as an electron withdrawing group, it's drawing from that positive charge, which makes it problematic. Still the electron withdrawing group here, but the positive charge never falls directly below that electron withdrawing group. So that's just a quick review of how we're deciding that meta position. All right, let me get the next one. Let's do ethyl benzene. And we will do an acid chloride. So this is acetyl chloride and ethyl benzene reacting with aluminum trichloride. Now these guys, I don't know that we necessarily talked about acid chlorides. I know we did anhydrides, but acid chlorides work the same way. So what's going to happen is the aluminum is going to pull the chloride off. And it's going to be a source of the carbocation. And it's going to react through the carbocation. So that's what happens here is the aluminum binds to the chloride, pulls the chloride off, taking its electrons with it, leaves behind this carbocation, which the major resonance contributor is the oxonium ion, but it's going to react through the carbocation. So this is just a source of, we can think of this as a source of positive charge at that location. So now the question is, well, where does it go? Does it go to the ortho? Does it go to the meta? Does it go to the para? So we have to consider what type of group this is. Is this an electron withdrawing group or is it an electron donating group? That's the first question.
Slight donating.
Slight donating group. Okay, so we're in the donating group category. Donating groups then, when we think about that as a donating group, this is an ortho-para director. So as an ortho-para director, it's going to go in the ortho-para positions. Now, the second consideration is the sterics. Second consideration is how large are the sterics? Are the sterics so large that it's going to direct to the para position, or are the sterics small enough that it will direct to the ortho position? And that goes back to the table that we had regarding sizes. And so we started out and we showed that anything that was less than a methyl, anything less than methyl goes ortho, and anything larger than methyl, ethyl, propyl, isopropyl, these all go para. And so there's only a few things that are really smaller than a methyl. I mean, we can look at chloride that fits into that bill, an OH, an alcohol group, fits into that level, and NH3 sort of fits in there on par, about same size with a CH3. But anything bigger, as we get into bromide, iodide, and those types of ions, or anything that has any steric bulk to it, is going to push things towards the para position. So that's how we're kind of making that decision. So number one, we look at electron withdrawing versus electron donating. And then number two, we look at sterics. So this being an ethyl group, is going to direct that other group to the meta position. And we can go through the same reasons here, the same reasoning that we had before. We could draw out, without drawing out all of the resonance, we can draw out the three intermediates. And we can say, all right, the first intermediate would have this shape with the positive charge. In that position, this would be the ortho. Did I just do that wrong? I did. This is not supposed to be here. I went for the meta, despite everything that I was just saying. I was going to catch it eventually. The next one would have the positive charge here. And the last one, the para. We'll have the positive charge there. And so where the additional positive charges fall, they fall in these locations. And what we're looking at is we're looking at the electron donating's ability to donate to that positive charge and stabilize that positive charge. And then in deciding between the ortho, the meta is out, and the para, it's in regards to sterics, and this one becomes the major as we look at that. Is that helping a little bit to draw those out just to see kind of where those positive charges are falling and then taking it from words into images regarding the sterics and how the sterics are pushing that towards para being the major? Cool. Okay. So that's a good one. All right, let's see the next one. Let's do a competition. So let's take and do a methyl group and a nitro group. And let's brominate this. Okay, now what do we need to consider? So we need to consider sort of the same things, but we've got two different groups, and we've got to consider which group is going to be the influencing group, the directing group. So when we look at that, you know, we've got two different groups here. We've got one which is donating and one which is strongly withdrawing. And the effect of those groups, what each of those groups do, is that when we look at the activation energy going to the intermediate and then following from the intermediate to the final product, the reaction is looking this way. We go up to an intermediate, and then from that intermediate, we go to some product. And the intermediate has the disruption. So we have some sort of X, Y, and Z that we've added in H, and there's a positive charge that is arising within this molecule. And what we're asking is, what is it that is going to raise this energy? And what is it that is going to lower this energy, because those things are going to affect this activation energy. And this is our rate determining step. And we would like to know what is going to raise this and what is going to lower this, right? And what we find is that in this case, electron donating groups, the donating groups are the things that will lower this energy. And so as we take and we look at electron donating groups, being able to stabilize the positive charge, that's what's going to drop our energy. Electron withdrawing groups are going to pull energy from that positive charge and are going to conversely destabilize this. And so what we find is that it's not really how strong an electron withdrawing group is, because all electron withdrawing groups are going to increase the activation energy and slow the reaction down. The question is, how strong is the electron donating group? And the strongest electron donating group is going to strongly activate this reaction, make the reaction go faster. So what we find is that the reaction is governed by the strongest donating group. Or we would say that the strongest donating group directs directs the location of the new substituent, or the addition reaction. So it's not really, you know, if we have two electron donating groups, the stronger of the electron donating groups is going to direct. If we have a donating group and electron withdrawing group, the donating group is going to direct. We're always looking for the strongest donating group in order to figure out where it's going to go. And then, of course, we need to consider sterics. And so after that, sterics is secondary. So donating first, when it's a competition, number two, sterics. So with that, let's go ahead and put some numbers. Let's say that this is 1, 2, 3, and 4. We've got four options where this bromine can go. Where's the bromine going to go? Number one, number two, number three, and number four.
I would say one or two because it's an electron donated group, but then do the sterics. Okay.
No, then you got it. So if you try to go with sterics, what's going to happen is you're trying to push between three and four, maybe for sterics, but then that takes you into the meta position to the electron donating group. That's going to put your positive charge directly below the nitro, which would be bad. So you're definitely going to want to go into this position, which is equivalent because the molecule is flat. There's no difference between that and this. Positions one and two are identical. And that's going to be your major product. Okay. So those are the decision-making process we're going through. Let's try.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
So you picked that. Sorry, you picked those two positions because it's close to the donating group?
Well, because what we're doing is we're looking at what is ortho. If we consider, this is the way that I visualize it sometimes in my head. The electron donating group is directing ortho and para. The electron withdrawing group, I don't need to worry about because it doesn't matter where it's directing, it's not. It's the electron donating group that is doing all the directing. And so normally I would try to go into a position that is meta to the nitro, and that corresponds to positions one and two as well. But this group isn't really directing. It's really the electron donating group that is directing. And because the number three position is out, because it's already occupied, that leaves me only with one and two. And so that sets up the situation where I'm only available to go ortho to the electron donating group.
So would you not be worried about the resonance structure where the positive is next to the NO2?
The positive, okay, that's a good question. I guess we should explore that. let's look at what happens when we take and put the bromide here and the nitro and where the positive charge is going to fall. Initially, we'll start the process off with a positive charge there. Move the electrons over. Positive charge falls there. Move the electrons over one more time. And the positive charge falls on the right-hand side. And that's it. Notice that the positive charge never falls on the same carbon with the nitro. So going in positions one or two, the positive charge does not fall on the nitro. If I tried to go into position three or four, then what immediately happens is the positive charge does fall on the nitro. And that's where we get the bad interaction. So we could draw the rest of the resonance contributors for that, but that one really bad interaction is what tanks it going into position four. And the electron donating group never actually gets to be able to come into play because the positive charge never falls directly below the electron withdrawing group. Even I try to get out of drawing resonance contributors once in a while. But in order to see it, you kind of need to draw them. So what we're seeing here is that my electron donating group is contributing directly to the positive charge. I guess we should say that electron donating group contributing to the positive charge by induction. Here, what we have in the bottom is the electron withdrawing group, which is pulling from that positive charge. And that's also working by induction. And so what we find is that up here, this one is much more stable. And what that does is, going back to this energy diagram, that's dropping the energy of this intermediate. And by Hammond postulate, we're saying that it is also dropping the energy of the transition state. And that makes for a faster reaction. So when we say this is more stable, the more stable also implies that this is faster with a lower E sub A. And that's why that comes out to be the major product. Okay.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
What if the NO2 was meta to the methyl, would it still react? Or because one of those positives would end up landing on it?
Okay. Now that's another good question. Let's go ahead and do that. We have to go through the same analysis. And it doesn't matter what reaction we're doing. And so I just keep trying to get you to see a diversity of reactions here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take yet another way to create a carbocation. And we'll look and see where this substituent is going to go. And, you know, we have the same sort of analysis. What we can do is we can look at the electron donating group, and the donating group is going to direct ortho, meta, and para. So we have the ortho, meta, and para positions. Nitro group is pretty big. Nitro group is like an isopropyl group. So when we start to consider the sterics of the positions, this group here is large. And so sterics for that paraposition are kind of out, as are sterics for this position. And I would say that the predominant position would be that position. Now, we could also analyze the energy associated with that and say, well, what happens when I take and I do the substitution at that position? So let's consider that. We're going to take and initially put an isopropyl group in that position. And then we'll note what happens where the positive charge falls. And we'll consider each one of these resonance contributors. And that's the one that you're worried about, Keegan. Justifiably, you know, it's putting the positive charge below the nitro group. And so this one, we would say, is very minor. But this one over here would be major. And this one over here, we would say, would be minor. And so what we would have is we would have them ranked sort of 1, 2, and 3. And yes, this does take and place the positive charge directly beneath the electron withdrawing group. But at the same time, we have the electron donating group, which is contributing to the positive charge and stabilizing the positive charge. This is still going to drop the energy for the overall reaction as compared to any other derivative that we can draw. So we can continue to go through and assess the other positions. And what I would say is that if I look at these two ortho positions, they're going to be identical to this picture. And if I look at the para position, it's going to be identical to this picture because the positive charge is going to wind up in those three locations. So really what I need to consider is only the last position that is here and say, what happens when I put the positive charge here and how does that compare to this picture? Does that make sense in terms of an analysis? So we can say that this is here same for ortho and para, because I'm looking at where the positive charge is falling in those two positions. So now what I need to do is I need to compare or look at what I'm claiming to be this metaposition. Meta to the electron donating group. That's my first picture. From there, what I need to do is take and analyze all the resonance. Because I have no direct resonance donating groups, there's only going to be the three resonance contributors to consider. I think Keegan just wants to test my drawing skills. All right, so as we look at this, you know, we have an electron withdrawing group, which is the nitro. And we have an electron donating group, which is the methyl. And we're looking at where that positive charge is falling. And what we're seeing is that that positive charge is falling in locations where there is no really direct stabilization or destabilization. I'm not getting any direct contribution from my electron donating group, and I'm not getting any direct electron withdrawing from my nitro group. And so all of these are sort of equivalent, but not great. But what I would say is nothing stabilizing. And so up here, really, it's about this one that is stabilizing. And having that one stabilizing, yes, I've got another one that's destabilizing. But all that means is that this one is just going to be a very minor contributor and not come into play very much. It's not like it's so destabilizing that it knocks this out. So destabilizing, when you have a destabilizing resonance contributor, those destabilizing resonance contributors are minor and really just don't come into play when there's additional stabilizing components to the resonance. So just because we see this and we say, oh, that's bad, we don't necessarily throw this out because there's other things that are good within this. It just is that when you look at contribution-wise, the contribution of this one goes way up and the contribution of this one goes way down. The contribution of all of these are about equivalent, and there's just nothing that's really stabilizing there. So we go for the stabilizing force, which is making the molecule more stable. So we would expect in this one that our major product would come out ortho to the methyl group. That's a harder one to do. That's a harder sort of analysis to consider because you're being asked to consider both a poor resonance contributor, which you've been trained to avoid, and a good resonance contributor. And it almost seems like they ought to just negate each other. And if they negate each other, then where am I? I'm at the same sort of place as this, right? But that's not exactly how it works. They don't exactly negate each other. It's just that what happens is because this is so poor, the contribution of this one goes up and this one goes down. So it's a different sort of weighting than what we would see or what we would initially consider. All right, let's try this. Let's do this with acetic anhydride. And ALCl3. What's the thought now? I may have just lost my window. I did. No, okay, I got it back. Let's do now. Okay, cool. Anybody come up with any ideas here? Let's go ahead and label positions 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those are our possible locations where we can do substitution. How do we tackle it? What's the process? What do we need to consider? First thing.
Look for electron donating groups versus electron withdrawing groups.
Perfect. Okay. So chlorine. Is chlorine an electron donating group or a withdrawing group?
Withdrawing.
Slightly withdrawing, but is it an ortho para director or a meta director?
Meta.
Ah, this one's on the ortho para directing list. So these, all the halogens were on the bottom of the ortho para directing list. So if we go back to that list, which I don't know where that is, that's going to be in lecture and not the last lecture, but the lecture before. Ah, there's the list. So here's our electron donating groups. These are all activating. These guys are slightly deactivating, but they're ortho para directors because they can do direct resonance, because the lone pairs allow them to do direct resonance to a positive charge. It's just that they're inductively withdrawing, so they slow it down slightly, but they still direct ortho para because of their resonance capability. So you have to remember that these guys, they've got their lone pairs, which is allowing them to do the direct resonance contribution. I know I'm not getting the lone pairs in there very well, but that's where we're at. Oh, and we're frozen. Let me go ahead and restart it. So maybe it's switching, switching windows that causes me to freeze. Okay, so something to watch. So this is an ortho para director, even though they're slightly deactivating. And then everything else over here on this list, these are all of my deactivating groups that are going to be meta directors, everything on this list. So everything over here, ortho para, everything over here, meta. So let's go back to where we are here. So this group is slightly deactivating. But ortho para directing. Okay, what about the amine group that's there? It's a methylamine or a methyl aniline derivative. That's what I would say. So
the strong donating?
Strong donating group, yeah. So maybe the way that I want to mark this one is maybe what I want to do is use light blue for the chlorine because it is donating, but maybe use dark blue for the strong donating group. And here we're ortho para directing, and maybe we can use deactivating, but ortho para directing for that guy. Okay, so remember the rules then. The rules say that the stronger activating group will direct. So I'm going to go with the stronger activating group because that's going to give me greater stabilization for the intermediate. And by Hammond postulate, that relates to a lower activation energy for the transition state.
Jason?
Yeah.
So looking at this, I understand that like with a strong donating, that's going to be ortho para directing, right?
Right.
And so in this though, like, is there sterics that are going to cause one in places one and two to not be able to be taken, but is three considered meta?
Three is considered meta.
So,
and yeah. So how do I balance that? Sterics are secondary. So what we do is we look at the stronger donating group first, and then yes, there's a chance that we could overwhelm things if we put enough sterics on it. However, I think that what we will find here is that this group is not going to want to go into the meta position, that it is going to want to go into the stronger donating group. Well, maybe this is not the best of my examples. I can see the argument in that when we look at these two different possibilities, this is ortho to the chlorine, which is a donating group. And ortho to chlorine, which is small sterics. And this is ortho to the amine, which is large sterics. So in order to figure that out, you know, what we need to do is we need to, again, look at Hammond postulate and what's happening in those two intermediates, both with the charges and with the sterics, and sort of decide which one of those is more important to us. The governing rule, generally what we do is we go with the stronger donating group, and we always follow the stronger donating group. And so if there is a weaker donating group, then we generally consider that the electronics are more important than the sterics in this reaction. Sterics are a secondary consideration most of the time. All right, so if I take and I draw out and I look and see what can happen here. That's my initial starting position. I can take and move those lone pairs of electrons from the nitrogen into a double bond. I gotta save enough room. To be able to draw my substituents in there. And then I'll move the electrons around. And then one last resonance contributor. And this is why these just take patience, just to sit down. And back to just drawing out resonance and going through it all. Okay, let's take the other position and do the same. Actually, I'm going to start it off so that I can do. The same pattern that I just followed. Okay, chlorine can dump electrons down into this to make the double bond with the chlorine. It's not my favorite resonance contributor. Because chlorine is so electronegative that it's fighting its nature as an electron withdrawing group in order to do that. But it does preserve an octet on chlorine. And chlorine does have the ability to do that. We then take and follow that resonance in the same way that we did before with the nitrogen. And then one last structure where we take this charge and move the electrons over to the right, charge goes to the left. And that will be our last structure. Okay, there we go. So those are our two, right? And one and four are identical to two and three. So I only really need to consider these two positions in terms of what I want to do here. The most stabilizing feature in these structures is this one here. This is the one where the nitrogen is taken on the positive charge. And as such, the nitrogen is just a really strong electron donating group. And so that's the major resonance contributor in that one. When we look at where that positive charge is falling elsewhere, it's on carbon, it's on carbon, it's on carbon. These are just, the other three are just standard resonance contributors, but this one is really a major resonance contributor. When we look at these guys here, the best one really is this one, where the chlorine is taking on that positive charge. Because remember, if you remember your rules for resonance, what we say is that the resonance contributor that has the most covalent bonds is the most stable resonance contributor. So when we take it and we look at covalent bonds, mainly what I do is I track double bonds. This is one, two, three double bonds. But here we have one, two, three, four double bonds. Everything else has three. One, two, three. One, two, three, four. This one has four, everything else has three. So really we're comparing between these two structures here and we're saying which of these two structures is a more stable structure. Yes, there are some sterics that are in here with that nitrogen group. Those sterics are alleviated to a large degree in here with the chlorine because the chlorine is much smaller. However, the resonance stabilization that you get here from a nitrogen versus a chlorine is much, much greater. And when we're comparing factors in terms of the factors for stabilization that we've compared before, we've always said that it was electronegativity, hybridization, and then we went to resonance. And then size, and then induction. And sterics never really came into play in here, but where sterics are gonna go, sterics are gonna float a little bit, usually falling down around size and induction. But if the sterics start to get to be big like a tertiary butyl, then that can become overwhelming even over certain resonance things. So it's about the size of the sterics that we're dealing with. And so what I would say is that if you're looking at sterics and you're getting something on the order of like a tertiary butyl group, then maybe that's falling in at about the same level as resonance. But if you're looking at sterics that are sort of isopropyl or ethyl, then those sterics are falling more along the size and induction sort of level than they are, and I'm frozen again. You guys can't see what I'm doing. This new update is not so nice. At least I keep catching it. So that's how I'm trying to think about the size and sterics that are going in there. I would still, unless you're dealing with something like a tertiary butyl group, I would follow the electronics more than I would follow the sterics. because that's going to make a bigger difference. Remember that the sterics really come into play at the elimination point when it goes back to being SP2. When it's SP3 like this, then as an SP3 center, there's a lot more room around that SP3 center, and the sterics don't necessarily come so much into play at that position until you eliminate the proton and it goes back to being SP2. But that happens at this point. And that's not what's really governing the formation of your intermediate. Your formation of your intermediate is governed at this point. And the sterics really come into play at the elimination at this point over here. So considering that, we would really go, where is it? For the stronger electron donating group and the formation of the more stable series of resonance contributors. I hope that made a little more sense out of it. I know it can be tricky. Let me see what I've got next. Ah. Let's try this. Starting from benzene, show me how you can create this guy. What do I want to do first, second, and third? How do I want to put these groups on in order to get this substitution pattern? I've only given you two groups. So do I want to put the chlorine group on first, or do I want to put the isopropyl group on first?
The chlorine?
Chlorine, good. Why?
Because the electron donating group of the isopropyl will direct more. I don't know how to say it.
You're close. But
it's going to be more like influential.
Okay, so, well, let's ask this. If I take and I put the isopropyl group on first, and then I try to put the chlorine group on, Cl2, AlCl3. Where's it going to go? What's going to be the major product?
It's going to be, yeah, para.
Para, exactly. Okay. If I take and I put the chlorine group on first, and then I put the isopropyl group on, and there's a number of different ways we could do that. Let's try it this way. Let's use a chlorine and AlCl3 to pull that chlorine off and create the carbocation. Now where is the isopropyl group going to go? How big is the chlorine that is directing? Bigger or smaller than methyl?
Smaller, so it'll go para. Ortho.
There you go. Exactly. And so that's how we decide in terms of where things are going. So what we're seeing here is that the sterics are large. The isopropyl group, if we do it this way, is greater than a methyl. So that means that this is going to direct into the para position because of the sterics. But when we get down to this one, the chlorine is actually smaller than methyl. And being smaller than methyl, that's going to direct into the ortho position. And so we can pick the right pattern. So what we would say is to put this together, we would take and we would do chlorine first. Adding in the chlorine substituent. And then second, we would take and add in the isopropyl group. And that would be our complete answer. Okay. Let me give you another one. Oh, did I give you time to catch all that? I'm sorry, I was drawing a little bit fast. I'll leave it there for a second. You guys good with that decision making? Okay. Let's try another one. Let's up the ante. Let's say that this time what we want to create is something with three substituents. And we want this substitution pattern. How am I going to figure it out? What am I going to do?
Would you do the methyl, so that will direct the chlorine or the chloride in the para direction, and then add the isopropyl because it'll be the methyl will direct it either para or ortho, and since it doesn't want to go ortho, it'll go para. Or I mean, sorry, I keep getting those confused. It'll go ortho.
Right. Okay. So. Let me see if I captured that correctly. You want to do the methyl first, right?
Yeah, no? Methyl, then the Cl, then the isopropyl.
Okay, so let's try. Here's the methyl. Here's the chlorine. Where's the chlorine going to go when I do this?
Para, because it's steric due to the methyl.
Ah, but remember, methyl is the one that gives orthopara, it's the dividing line. So methyl still gives, this guy is being major, by about 60 to 40%.
So you'd have a small yield?
I would. I would get a smaller yield. So I would get in these two, what I would see for methyl, given the size of the methyl, that this would be about 60% and this would be about 40%. We said it was roughly actually closer to like 57, 50 something. And then this one was 30 something. And it's not until you get up to an ethyl group that when we get an ethyl group here, it flips and this becomes major. When we get to the size of an ethyl group. So what's going to happen is that if we try to do the methyl first and then the chlorine, it's going to give us the wrong pattern.
If you added the chlorine first, would it be able to act as an electron withdrawing group to place the isopropyl in a meta position?
Nope. Chlorine is an orthopara director, even though it deactivates. So if I take and I put in the chlorine first and I do AlCl3, then what's going to happen is the chlorine will go in. And then if we want to put in the isopropyl group, and there are multiple ways to put in the isopropyl group, let's continue with using chlorides and AlCl3, just because it's easier for these types of groups. Then what's going to happen is the chloride is similar in size to a methyl, a little bit smaller. So what I would anticipate would happen here is that the isopropyl group would go into that position. And let's check what we wanted. That is not the position that we wanted for the chlorine and the isopropyl. So that ain't working either.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
I had kind of a side question. When you do the Cl2 reaction, do you ever have like products to accidentally add more than one Cl to
the yes.
ring?
Yes. You have to be careful that you're only using one equivalent of chlorine, because the chlorine will multiply substitute, yes. So we need to be careful of the stoichiometry of the reaction. That is true. That is true for actually all of these, particularly when you're putting an activating group on, that the stronger the activating group, the more substitution you will see. And sometimes that substitution is hard to control. For instance, if you have a really strong activating group like a phenol and you do it in water, it stabilizes the carbocation so much that the halogens try substitute and then they precipitate out and it goes in a flash. It goes really, really quickly. So you do need to be careful of the equivalence and the number of times that the substitution can occur. Okay, so far, we're having a tough time with this one.
Since they're all considered electron donating groups, how are we going to get one meta? That's what I'm struggling with.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yeah.
I guess it's just the isopropyl that's meta to the chlorine.
It is. All right. So if we put the methyl on first and then the isopropyl, we could go methyl isopropyl, and they will go in the pattern that we want. The isopropyl will go ortho to the methyl group. And then let's see what happens here. Let me remind you, let's see if I lose my, I didn't do it there, I did it here. I want to remind you of the percentages that we had. There they are. Okay. So this reaction, this is what we did on Tuesday, where we looked at having an R group and nitrating and the percentage of nitration in the ortho, meta, or para positions based on substituent size. And what we found was that when we had something as small as a methyl, that almost 60% went into the ortho position, 37% went into the para position. As soon as we get bigger than ethyl, para becomes predominant. But remember what I said about this. This is an interesting idea because what this means is that if I take and look at 37.2% and 4.4%, then this 58.7 looks like this. 58.7 divided by 2 equals, this is 29.35 and 29.35. Split between the two. However, the two are identical. But if you remove one, then what becomes your major product? So let's say that I remove one of these positions and this 29.35% is gone. What becomes your major product?
The 37.
The other ortho. Not the other ortho. The 37.2%, they all reconfigure such that, let's say that I have a blocking group. Let me tell you what the percentages would be. We've got a methyl, and then we've got a blocking group, X. And now I want to look at the percentages that are going to be in these, in this position, the meta position, and this position here. So what I would need to do is something I don't really want to do. I need to scale these up to the right percentages. So it would be something like 29.35, 4.4, and 37.2. I need to add all those up. I guess this would be the right way to do this. 29.35 plus 4.4 plus 37.2. So that equals 70.95, and I need to scale that up to 100. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all of these and divide them by 70.95 and then multiply by 100. So this is going to go into 29.35 divided by 70.95 times 100. This is going to go to 4.4 divided by 70.95 times 100. That's going to translate now into a 6.2%. And my 37.2 divided by 70.95 times 100 is going to come out to 52.4%. And that takes on the major one. See how that worked out by taking and putting in the blocking group? So now I went to 6.2%, I went to 41.4%, and I went to 52.4% in that position because one of the ortho groups got blocked. That's kind of an important little lesson there. Let's take this.
I think you might be frozen.
Maybe. Hang on a second. I'll unfreeze it. Yeah, it's frozen. Frozen. Okay, so what I was going to do, just take this into today's lab notes. And paste it in here. And let's say that this is selectivity versus sterics. And how that's affecting things. And really what I was after was the idea of a blocking group here and how that can make that into a major component. Okay. And so knowing that, what I can do now is I can take the reaction that I was trying to do. I can indeed start with the methyl. Place the methyl in position, then place the isopropyl. The isopropyl will then go here as my major product. And then I can place the chlorine. And placing the chlorine into that position, now what's going to happen is the chlorine is going to wind up going into the para position as the major. I'll draw the ortho too, and then we'll put those percentages.
Jason?
Yep.
So statistically speaking, basically if you don't have a block, because the molecules are the same because they're flat, if you put it in the ortho position without a blocking group, both sides will be technically 58% because they're like, they'll appear, both structures will be like in equal amounts or whatever.
They're just identical. And so okay. What you get is you wind up getting, you know, if we go back to the percentages, you wind up getting, what was it? 29% on one side and 29% okay. on the other side, but they're indistinguishable from one another.
Gotcha. So and then that, once that blocking group is attached, that's when it gets that 29.35. Okay.
That's right. So that's what happens is once there's a blocking group here, now we're no longer 29.35, or we're no longer, what I should say, is we're no longer 58.5% here. we're only 29.35% here, but scaled up for the three positions, that 29.35 translates now into a 41.4, and the 37 translates into a 52.4. It's subtle, but it's important to understand why this number was as high as it was at 58.5. It was that high because you had two possible positions versus your one position here. Take away one of them, and now, naturally, that percentage is going to fall, and this one's going to increase.
Hey, Jason?
Yes.
So isn't isopropyl a better donating group than methyl?
It is equivalent.
So, okay. So you just basically we decide to go with the para to methyl.
Well, okay. So I would say that the isopropyl is an equivalent directing group to the methyl group. And so there is going to be some percentage here that is going to fall into this position as well. And maybe that is the least sterics. Could be, you could definitely make an argument, and I could see the argument, that we could get the chlorine in this position because it's para here to that group and is the least sterics of all of them. So we could make an argument that that could be problematic and that they're both electron donating groups and they're about equivalent in terms of their electron donating capacity. So yes, that could be an argument. Let's see if we can get around that argument and find another way to be able to make this. So, and I don't think I set this one up to be able to do this. This would be a serious challenge if I wanted to do it a different way. I could do it, but I hate to show you how I would do it because it's not something I expect you to be able to do. I'll show you anyway. It involves a reaction that you don't know yet. So a better way. A better way would be to go in and go ahead and do the methyl. And then put in a specific meta director. So what I would do here is I would take and I would put in an acete group, which becomes a meta director. Then I would go ahead and utilize that to direct so that I can then direct to the para position, not fighting this group, it goes with the major director. So the major director would then push the chlorine into the para position where I want it. And now what we need to do is we need to convert this group into the group that we desire. And actually there are reactions that you know how to do that. This is not as bad as it looks. There are directions or reactions that we could do to make this work. So let's think about some of those reactions and bringing back some of those skills, right? I was gonna give you a reaction that you don't know yet, but I don't have to do that. There are reactions that you do know that would allow you to be able to do this. For instance, you could take and first add the methyl group that you need onto this position, getting the methyl group in there, you would do that using something like a Grignard. So CH3, MgBr, this would be one. And then number two, we would go in and we would add some dilute acid to it. That makes the tertiary alcohol. And now what we need to do is we need to get rid of that alcohol and we need to eliminate it. So we could just heat this with strong acid and try and push it E1. E1 would say, go ahead and treat this with H2SO4 and some heat. E1 would take us to the double bond. Another way to be able to do this would be a two-step E2 sort of reaction, where we first treat it with tosyl chloride and pyridine. And I would say that that is a first step. And then a second step would be to use the strong base to pull the proton and kick out the leaving group. And so we would use potassium tributoxide or LDA, would probably be a better one. LDA and THF would cause the elimination. So this gets you to the exact same place, just by a different route. And then both of those, if we treated both of those with hydrogen and platinum and just did the hydrogenation, you're now pretty much 100% of what you wanted. And we had to go sort of a roundabout way to get there. But there was nothing that was preventing you from using earlier reactions that we knew in order to get rid of that oxygen, the carbonyl, and replace it with a methyl group. Did that look familiar enough in terms of the reactions that I showed you? Okay. Let's try one more. I got one more up my sleeve. I don't know who that is, but they can leave a message. Okay, so the one more that I want to do, actually I'm looking at the one more, I don't know. If it's really what I wanted. Because it just kind of messes everything up. I don't like the one. All right, let me try something different. I'm going to make up something different on the fly. After going through the last problem, I'm realizing the issues that I've created in the next problem that I was going to do. And it just wasn't going to be pretty. So, what I want to do is I want to place this group that group and then from there I want to put another R group here, but I don't know what R group I want to put. Because that gets too easy. Chloride, bromide. I haven't taught you how to put other groups, so let's make it that I need a bromide here. Actually, let's just do the two groups and leave it at two groups. We'll do this one first, and then I'll bring it up to three. We'll see what to do with after that. So what do I want to do here?
Jason, what if you brominated it so that there's an electron withdrawing group to place the chlorine in a meta position and then remove the bromine and add the ethyl? Would that work?
Well, bromine is still an orthopara director. So even though it's a withdrawing group and deactivating, it's only slightly deactivating, but still an orthopara director. And we also don't know how to remove the bromine. So we don't have a reaction that can actually get rid of the bromine for us. So not a bad idea, but that runs into issues.
You could add a ketone and then add a Cl and then convert the ketone to an ethyl.
Okay, so that will work. What we do is we take something that this is sort of what's called an umpalong. And I think I've used that word once before. An umpalong is where we reverse the polarity for a functional group, chemical reaction that reverses the polarity of a functional group. And what we originally recognize here is that both of these groups are both orthopara directors. And we want to get something into the meta position, which means that we need to change one of these groups into a meta director. So the strategy here is convert one group into a meta director. And then remove the electron withdrawing group, or the carbonyl in this case, is the way that we typically do this. So the idea here would be to go in, take this guy, treat it with the same number of carbons. So if we're looking at this and we're saying, all right, this is carbon number one and carbon number two, this is carbon number one and carbon number, reverse that. This would be carbon number one and carbon number two. I'm using a two carbon chain that I'm adding to this guy. There is number one and number two in the way in which I've added it. Now I can go in and I can add in my chlorine, because now this is a meta director. So when the chlorine comes in, oh, this needed to be AlCl3-2. When the chlorine comes in, it will now go to the meta position. So now I'm set up pattern-wise to have the right patterns. Now what I need to do is I need to find a way to remove this group and get that group out of there. And now we have three different ways to do this. So one way is by the Clemmensen reaction. That Clemmensen reaction, just to go back and look at that. That wasn't that day, that was this day. And it was one of the last things that I showed you. So the Clemmensen reaction uses zinc and mercury amalgam and reacts it with HCl. And it's able to reduce off and remove a carbonyl completely. I know we still haven't looked at the mechanism of those. And I should do that for you. But this uses zinc and mercury and HCl. And it can reduce off and remove the carbonyl. And it doesn't only do or remove the carbonyl for aromatic molecules like this. It will remove any carbonyl. So it's kind of a nice trick to have in your bag that anytime we want to reduce and get rid of a carbonyl and take it down just to a straight hydrocarbon, we can use a Clemmensen reaction. The other reaction that did this was what I said was the Wolf-Kishner. That reaction uses hydrazine, H2N2, actually H4N2. Ah, now I'm speaking and writing the wrong things. And it uses sodium hydroxide. That reaction does the same thing via a different mechanism. The nice part about the Wolf-Kishner is while hydrazine is a little bit hard to handle, the byproducts from this chemical reaction are water and nitrogen gas. And so nitrogen gas is what comes off of this, and water is the other byproduct. The Clemmensen, you got to get rid of the zinc and the mercury. The zinc and the mercury don't go away, and you got to isolate the zinc and the mercury back out of this. And dealing with mercury and mercury contaminated waste is sometimes difficult. So I prefer the Wolf-Kishner over the Clemmensen, but they're all both viable reactions. The other way is the way that I showed you just a little bit ago, is we could take this and we could react it with lithium aluminum hydride as a first step. And then number two, we can acidify with dilute acid. That first reaction takes and reduces this down to the alcohol. And then once you've got the alcohol, now you can turn the alcohol into a good leaving group and then eliminate it and then hydrogenate. So now what I would do is I would take and I would treat this with tosyl chloride, creating a good leaving group and pyridine. That would be one, creating the good leaving group. Two, eliminate it using something like LDA. That creates an alkene.
Jason, we can't see. I think it froze again.
Okay. This is getting old. How do I revert to my old operating system? Thanks for catching that. Okay. So what I did is I treated it with lithium aluminum hydride and the proton to reduce it to an alcohol. Converted the alcohol into a tosylate and then elimination by E2 with LDA. And then finally, what I would do is I would treat it with H2 and platinum, which will only reduce the double bond, not reducing the aromatic system. Now that's a long road to go, which is why we introduce at this point the Clemmensen and the Wolf-Kishner, because they're one step. Whereas these other reactions are one, two, three, four steps in order to get you there. So the Clemmensen and the Wolf-Kishner are by far the better reactions in terms of doing something like that and getting rid of the carbonyl. Okay, how's that looking? It's a lot to handle, I think, but you know, we've gone through now, I think this was a good session in terms of the number of types of problems and the diversity of problems. We started out fairly simply. Those simple problems led to a lot of good questions. We were able to address the methyl substituent. We were able to address how there's two ortho positions to this guy and what happens if you remove one of them. We looked at the sterics issues and how the sterics drive things. And we were able to deal with those sterics versus electronics. And here we've hit a lot of really good things that we didn't have time to deal with within the lecture in terms of examples. So I think this has been a good exercise to go through these. I still wanted to try to do one more. There was a three component that forces me to do this, and maybe I should. I think I got it. Now, every time I go there, the problem with what I'm trying to do is I want to put a group in this position, but maybe what I need to do is just ask you the result of a sequence. Let's do it this way. Let's do that first. Second, let's go ahead and put in a methyl group. And then third, let's put in a chlorine. And then finally, we'll take that and we will do, this is another way to write it, N2H4, sodium hydroxide. And let's see what comes out of that. Okay, first reaction is not so bad, right? First reaction, we're just putting on the acyl group. So we can draw that. And because it's the first group being placed, we can place it in any position that makes it easy for us to recognize where it's going. So let's just put it there. Now, what about the chlorine? Where is the chlorine going to go?
The meta position.
Good. Oops, that's not the chlorine though, that's the methyl. So you were right. I just said the wrong species. So the methyl goes in the meta position. All right, now maybe the tough one. When I do the chlorine, where's the chlorine going to go?
Would it go para or ortho to the...
Okay, so the way that I look at those is I kind of take and say, all right, here are my ortho positions and there's my para position. So I've considered my electronics. These are the three positions where the chlorine is going to go because the group here is the directing group. So that group is directing. Then I take and consider sterics. So now I've got to consider after the electronics, where are the sterics the least? And maybe let me put 1, 2, and 3. Where are sterics the least? Number 1, number 2, or number 3?
Number 3.
Exactly. So now what I do is I come in and the chlorine went to that position. And then this guy is the Wolf-Kishner reaction. And so that removes then the carbonyl. So this one wasn't quite as hard in giving you all of the substituents and asking you to fill it in. the hardest part is this part right here and making this decision that because of the sterics here and here, because of the sigma bond and the free rotation about that group, that that group acts as a steric blocking group. And so while the methyl group supports going into these three various positions, it is really the third position here that has the least amount of sterics and is where the chlorine winds up being directed to. So I think that's kind of a good note to end on, showing you a diversity of types of problems. So problems where I can give you a target to make, and you've got to figure out which reactions to put together that target. I can give you two or three different substituents and ask you to put them in place. I can give you a reaction scheme where I ask you to fill it in. And we've seen a diversity of groups and a diversity of ways of putting on groups here. And also competitions, so that I can give you just a single reaction with two substituents and ask you where the third substituent is going to be placed. And that in those cases, we look at first electronics, and then we look at sterics, very similar to what we just did just right here in deciding that product there. Okay, so I think we've hit just about everything that I wanted to hit with this. I think this is a good place to cut it, unless you guys have questions. And we can take a break. And I'm on for office hours at 11 o'clock. So if anybody wants to jump into office hours, I'm happy to do that. And otherwise, I would see you guys at 12:40. But I'm happy to stay on the line and answer any questions.
This was really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome, Abby. Thank you. Thanks, Jasmine.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
So I missed the lab on Tuesday. Are you planning on uploading that soon?
Yes. Tuesday was an extremely difficult day. And yesterday I had a lot of meetings and it just slipped my mind. So I appreciate you reminding me that. I'll get it up and I'll...
Okay.
Yeah. If there's not too much traffic during office hours, I'll get it up during office hours.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for reminding me. All right, see ya.